You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com. Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com. You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Welcome to the Tech Sheet, the name I give to special bonus episodes that looks at the tech behind the world of electric vehicles. And today it's part two. Why do cutting-edge EVs still have a 12-volt battery? Well, yesterday on the podcast, we told you about the era of 6-volt dominance, how it moved to 12 volts, the failed attempts to go to 42 volts in the 1990s, bridging the gap between your traction battery and the low-voltage battery, critical functions of why you even have a 12-volt system inside your EV, power management, charging systems, components, and supply chains, plus the considerations of going to 48 volts, and why Tesla is trying to persuade the industry to do exactly that. If you missed any of those topics, they're on yesterday's part one of this little series. Okay, it's a two-part series, I admit. As we look today at part two of why your cutting-edge EV has the old-fashioned 12-volt battery. A reminder, our bonus shows are exclusively for Patreon supporters. For the first 7 days, only Patreon insiders get early access, their name on the list of legends for executive producers and above, and the power to shape future shows. If being in the know and supporting my work sounds like something you'd like to do, no pressure, zero pressure. But if you want to, feel free to have a look at patreon.com, patreon.com/EV News Daily, to be part of something really special. The incredible people that get this show on the air every single day. Now, this is part two of our look at the 48 volts move that Tesla is trying to do. I left you yesterday by telling you about the Cybertruck. 48-volt architecture, and having to redesign themselves as part of a very vertically integrated company. Because you can't just, if you're launching the Cybertruck on a 48-volt system, open up the parts catalogue. It's online, obviously, these days, but I like the image of sitting down with, you know, a catalogue and flicking through. What do we need? One of those, two of those, you know, 200 of those. The wiring, the switches, the components. There are 48-volt things out there, but just not in the way that Tesla needed. So much like the automotive industry of the 1950s, when we moved from 6 volts to 12 volts, they had to do a lot themselves. Tesla's 48-volt architecture demonstrates high-voltage systems' potential when properly implemented. If you quadruple the voltage, you can deliver the same power at a quarter of the current, and that creates, it's literally cascading benefits throughout the entire vehicle. This is why Tesla's a really big fan of moving to a higher voltage, low voltage system, if that makes sense. Wire harness weight, that's a really big deal. That's probably the most tangible benefit that most people would understand in the world of EVs, because weight is efficiency, isn't it? Sandy Munro, quite famous for providing like teardown services in different sectors, he looked at the Cybertruck and revealed a 73% wiring weight reduction versus 12-volt systems, with 78% overall weight savings when combined with the Ethernet-based communication system. These reductions are particularly valuable in EVs. Every pound translates into performance and range. Efficiency improvements extend beyond weight savings to reduced resistive losses in electrical distribution. Power losses are proportional to current squared, so reducing current by 4 results in approximately 16-fold power loss reductions. Now, for EVs, efficiency directly impacts range. Tesla are amazing at eking out every last amp hour, watt hour. These translate to meaningful performance and improvements, which ultimately means a more satisfied consumer. Tesla's 48-volt system enables new technologies impractical with 12-volt systems. The Cybertruck has steer-by-wire. That in itself, not just electrical power steering, but a steer-by-wire system would stress a 12-volt system. This eliminates the mechanical connection between what you hold in your hands and what the wheels are doing on the road. That requires substantial electrical power if it's going to be reliable. This system demands approximately 3 times the electrical power of maybe what an American house was pulling in the early 1970s. Like, this is how much power we need. 48 volts was essential for that technology. Despite significant advantages, Tesla's 48-volt system required addressing numerous tech challenges, illustrating, you know, voltage system transition is really complex. Primary challenges involved maintaining compatibility with the existing 12-volt stuff that's out there, where the conversion didn't justify development. I left you on part one yesterday talking about it wasn't an all or nothing with the Tesla Cybertruck. It was a hybrid approach. Less frequently used components, seat motors. I mean, how often do you change your seat? Maybe if you share a vehicle with your partner, every time each of you gets in, the seat might move if it reads your key or your phone. The door lock actuators, things like that. They're not used every second of the journey, so they can remain on 12 volts due to supplier cost dynamics and efficiencies. The required power management systems between voltage levels had to be worked out for reliability and safety. Developing 48-volt components meant Tesla had to work closely with its suppliers or even do its own thing, like I said. Power window motors required custom 48-volt designs, needing collaboration with its suppliers, like Brose, I think it was. While still using traditional DC designs, higher voltage operation allows reduced wire gauge, more efficiency. Safety considerations for a 48-volt system needs attention, as higher voltages, you know, well below the dangerous thresholds, it doesn't require all the orange high voltage cable shielding that you see if you look underneath the, you know, the bonnet of your EV. Do require different handling procedures, safety and training. Tesla addressed concerns through different connector designs, including industry standard light blue coloring for the 48 volt connectors, enhanced secondary locking systems, and robust sealing preventing any moisture ingress. So what are the benefits and what are the challenges of doing what Tesla did with the Cybertruck? Why don't all car makers go, oh, that's better, we'll do it that way? Well, technical and economic benefits of 48 volt extend across all the different bits of vehicle design and operation, creating a really compelling argument for an industry-wide adoption. Most immediately apparent is the electrical efficiency and material usage, but implications reach, you know, actually deeper than that. Material efficiency represents the most, well, in the most quantifiable 48-volt system benefit. Current reduction requirements enable a lot smaller wire gauges throughout the vehicle, substantial copper savings. Cybertruck copper content was reduced by approximately £100 by going 48 volts. That, at $320 per vehicle, is, you know, not a massive cost saving, but at the scale Tesla works at, or at least they wanted to sell that many Cybertrucks, is a significant saving. Multiplied across annual production volumes of everything that maybe Tesla made, if they all went 48 volts, a material savings in terms of hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more. Weight reduction benefits extend beyond the raw material savings to include secondary effects on vehicle performance and efficiency. In EVs, where, you know, like I said, weight is everything, Tesla's 73% wiring harness reduction represents a meaningful improvement. These weight savings also reduce structural requirements. Think about vehicle suspension and chassis components, creating additional cost and weight optimization as well. Manufacturing efficiency improvements represent another significant system advantage of going 48 volts. Traditional 12-volt wiring harnesses require extensive manual labor for things like assembly, routing the cables, and even just connecting them all up as well, as thick wire gauges are difficult to manipulate and route through a really complex vehicle structure. A thinner wire with 48 volt allows increased automation in harness manufacturing and installation, reducing labor, improving consistency. And beyond the efficiency improvements, 48-volt systems would enable entirely new technology, impractical or impossible with 12 volts. High-power accessories previously needing either mechanical operation, maybe hydraulic operation, could go electrical, providing improved precision, reduced maintenance requirements, better vehicle system integration. Active suspension systems are a really good example that I can think of initially as 48-volt power benefits. Bentley, Audi, Porsche, they've all done 48-volt powered active suspension systems. What they do is they counteract body roll in the turns. So you get better ride quality, they adapt to road conditions, but these systems are really power hungry. They require substantial electrical power for rapid actuator response, and they had to use 48 volts for that. Electric supercharging and turbocharging represents another application where 48 volt would provide efficiencies. Traditional turbochargers use exhaust gases in engines, creating acceleration lag. You could, in the old world of combustion, use more 48-volt systems to provide boost pressure immediately, eliminating, you know, turbo lag, making engines at the end of their life cycle, you know, the next 20 years or so, as we say goodbye to combustion. Oh, Mercedes-Benz have done something in several models using 48-volt power to drive things like compressors for boost response. Advanced driver assistance systems, ADAS, autonomous driving, increasingly require a lot of sensors. In China, a load of LiDAR. In nearly all cars, a ton of compute and even actuator power. Power requirements exceed what 12 volt can do, making 48 volts just sufficient, really, for, you know, the next level of ADAS, whilst maintaining safety voltage thresholds. So there are loads of clear advantages to doing what Tesla asked the industry to do 2 years ago. Please think about implementing 48 volt. But there's a reason they haven't. Technical, economic, logistical challenges. If you've missed part one, then I'll, you know, quickly recap. This is the existing automotive supply chain. Billions of dollars, hundreds probably of billions of dollars over the years, cumulatively, have been spent on the supply chain of building facilities and knowledge that make 12-volt stuff. Component availability represents immediate practical barriers. So if you make an EV, if you're an OEM, and you make an EV, should we go 48 volt? Okay. Can we get all the bits we want from our existing suppliers? Do we need new supply chains? There are development costs, minimum order qualities, things like that. Scale will bring it down. Electromagnetic compatibility, EMC considerations. No one ever talks about that. They become more complex with 48 volt systems. Higher voltages and faster switching frequencies can generate increased EMC interference. And so while challenges, they're all solvable, all fixable problems. but require engineering and testing to ensure automotive EMC compliance. I mean, even AM radio. There's this campaign of let's not hurt AM radio with electric vehicles. Kind of crazy. By the way, I have a like 25-year career in broadcast radio before I started this podcast as my only career now. So I used to work an AM radio station. Like, I'm not anti-AM radio, but come on. In a digital IP connected world, should we not move forward with clean green transport because there's an AM radio lobby? Cost considerations are also really important. 48-volt systems can reduce material costs. I've established that. Reduced copper usage. But initial development, component pricing premium, manufacturing process changes, that all ramps up the cost before it comes down. 48 volt is the long game. Safety and service considerations are some of the biggest long game in the automotive industry. If you make a vehicle today, that's great. Now it has to be serviced for 10, 15, 20 years and the rest. So shock hazards need to be, you know, minimized. It's 48 volt, so it's fine, it's safe. But different service and training procedures and safety protocols for a vehicle that is then in service for, you know, decades. Service technicians, diagnostic equipment, all of that needs updating. Automotive industry 48 volt technology is out there. I'm not pretending that Tesla's the only one doing it. It tends to be led primarily by the European premium manufacturers, putting in mild hybrid applications rather than the whole vehicle level architecture. This reflects maybe a conservative strategy to do things piecemeal. Audi pioneered 48-volt systems. Back in 2016, the SQ7 came out, and that had a really sophisticated mild hybrid system that I think was only 48-volt power for the electric supercharger, the active suspension. The SQ7 had a lithium-ion 48-volt battery, a belt-driven alternator starter, and another 12 kilowatts of additional acceleration power. Mercedes-Benz adopted 48-volt mild hybrid systems across their model line, CLS, E-Class, S-Class, the 3-litre engines they had, all included 48-volt power to replace things like mechanical belt drives and accessories like air conditioning compressors and coolant pumps. This allows the systems to continue operating when engines shut off during stop-start operation. Then the cabin comfort's not affected. BMW was pretty aggressive, actually, with 48-volt back in the day, with over 50 models incorporating their 48-volt starter generators. BMW systems provide another 10 horsepower, 8 kilowatts, during starting and acceleration moments while supporting, you know, the engine workload. The company strategy focuses on 48-volt systems in its, you know, combustion range to make them better. But if you look at the Asian automakers, they did it with a bit more caution, actually, focusing on specific applications where benefits outweighed the cost of implementing. So if I think about Hyundai and Kia, they went 48-volt in their mild hybrids like Tucson, Santa Fe, Seed, Sportage, with diesel engines where efficiency benefits are probably the most pronounced. Toyota, of course, 48-volt mild hybrids, Land Cruiser, Hilux, a departure from their hybrid powertrain focus, but again, using turbo diesels, 48-volt systems with some DC-DC conversion, designed for simple existing powertrain integration while maintaining the compatibility to operate what they say in extreme conditions, like water wading and stuff like that. Hyundai announced ambitious plans to go to 48-volt architecture by the end of the decade. That is probably the most comprehensive voltage system transition from the major OEMs. The strategy involves working with suppliers to start building a 48-volt component ecosystem whilst maintaining profitability. Hyundai's approach to applications beyond automotive, extending 48-volt technology to things like their robotics, like Boston Dynamics, that's all under them as well now, for component development, is going to help with things like economies of scale. Let's talk about the market and how it could adopt, how the cars that we drive, not tomorrow, but in time, could all be using the next generation of low voltage technology. We'll take a quick break. I'll have a slurp of coffee. We'll finish off and round out the end of part two of this two-part series on why your cutting edge EV still has 70-year-old 12-volt technology. Stick around, back in a mo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast. Let's finish off part four, if you like, as it's a two-part series, on our low-voltage systems in our EVs. The automotive 48-volt system market had a big growth recently. Projections also show expansion from 6.47 billion to 36 billion over the next 6 or 7 years, a 24-25% compound annual growth rate. So there is movement in the low voltage system in automotive. Growth is driven by emissions regulations, fuel efficiency requirements, and modern vehicle power demands. European markets have been leading 48-volt adoption because of more stringent CO2 emissions regulations, with mild hybrid systems economically attractive now to meet those regulations. The European Commission's plan to reduce automotive emissions by almost 40% by the end of the decade is an incentive to make that jump to 48-volt. Market research indicates 48-volt systems will appear in maybe a fifth of all vehicles sold globally this year. Again, not the entire vehicle architecture, but some part of it. Well, Tesla's decision to share their 48-volt implementation with the world was a really big moment. I think a lot of people interpreted this as a little bit of maybe Elon Musk bravado, saying, we know how to do it better than everyone. So let me remind you. When they launched the Cybertruck, they also wrote the book on 48 volt. They effectively wrote a guide called How to Design a 48 volt Vehicle. And he said, oh, I've sent it to all the other automotive CEOs so they can have a good read of it. I think people, again, dismissed it as Mr. Musk being, well, you know, the showman and all those kind of things. But that's a remarkable strategic thing to do, to raise that, I think, with the wider public, the attention that Tesla and the CEO can captivate people sometimes. I don't think they kind of realized how important that was. And then after the launch, it seemingly all went away. So the initiative, confirmed at the time by people like the Ford CEO, Jim Farley, acknowledged as well by Elon Musk afterwards, demonstrates how Tesla have confidence in their tech, but want to transform the industry. And no doubt, Tesla's got skin in the game. It's never been shared, as far as I know. I did a lot of research for this podcast series. I couldn't find that document online, but documentation sharing has happened. Some of the detailed technical specifications have appeared online. You can't guarantee that that is true. Sections of it have appeared online. You can't guarantee the authenticity of that. Ford CEO Jim Farley's confirmation that Tesla sent the how to design a 48-volt vehicle documents to him validate the reports that do seem to make this credible. Farley's response that Ford's next-gen team has been on a similar path suggests that, look, all automakers are looking at this. Tesla's motivation for sharing the documentation with other CEOs extends beyond just being, you know, altruistic. The primary drivers appear to be Tesla's recognition that if they want to do what they want to do with their vehicles, so the steer-by-wire, the high-voltage stuff, they need a component production ecosystem, you know, economies of scale that reduce Tesla's costs. They can't do it alone. By encouraging competitors to also go 48 volt, it establishes the market, it drives supplier investment, it brings the cost down. Automotive industry responses to the 48-volt documentation sharing has been positive in public statements, revealing the underlying skepticism, perhaps, about how practical the idea is. Jim Farley, Ford CEO, said it was great for the industry and proposed some more collaboration to help the supply base move to 48 volts. However, industry analysis suggests the positive public statements out there kind of mask these more significant concerns about how practical it is. We can kind of cope with 12 volt. We've worked out ways to make 12 volt work in an EV world. Legacy automakers have a different challenge and constraints to Tesla. So existing model lines, many more models, established supplier relationships, some of them have more complex manufacturing, all designed around 12 volt. Supplier ecosystem responses were a lot more cautious, by the way, reflecting the reality that if you're a component manufacturer, you can't just up sticks and go 48 volt overnight without significant investments, and all of them are working on razor-thin margins. 2 years after Tesla's Cybertruck launch and the document-sharing initiative, the automotive industry has not adopted a 48-volt EV plan. It's not even been discussed publicly. It reveals a fundamental structural barrier that extends far beyond just the technical considerations. 12 volt systems persistence across the entire industry really demonstrates how complex it is for the economies, the technical side, the organizational factor in building an electric vehicle. Automotive supply chains represent the most significant industry, you know, out there in terms of the entire industry, in terms of going 48 volt. It's the supply chain that would need to change. The OEMs can say, yeah, this is, we think it's a great idea. We'll design our vehicles differently. Unlike Tesla, which maintains significant vertical integration and, you know, very close working relationships with their suppliers and component manufacturing, some of the traditional automakers rely more heavily on either established supplier networks that have invested billions, like I say, in 12 volt, or they simply cannot work so closely with them to do it together. Scale of supply chain challenges becomes apparent considering thousands of different components required for modern EV production. From a simple switch to a complex module, it all has to be redone. Financial analysis of the 48-volt system reveals complex trade-offs of making short-term transitions. 48-volt offers long-term advantages, efficiencies, costs, and things like that, and vehicle performance, like the EVs would be better in time. But development costs extend far beyond just the components. You know, deep vehicle-level integration, testing, validation, even safety certification. Competitive dynamics surrounding 48-volt adoption reveal how established industry leaders may publicly say, yeah, we're looking at this, it all makes sense, let's collaborate. Even the technology offers clear advantages, but when it hits the bottom line, are they going to transform their business, even take a hit in the short term, when so many of them are looking at quarterly share prices and profit targets and things like that? The automotive industry's measured response to Tesla's plan to go 48 volts highlights the potential evolution in the automotive industry. Hybrid architecture is one thing, and that's where they have gone 48 volts. But to follow Tesla and entirely change the way that you design a vehicle, well, that hasn't been forthcoming. Ultimately, the way the car industry works with 12-volt batteries, even in a cutting-edge EV, reveals this complex interplay between we want to innovate and do amazing things, but also there are established systems that we have to stick to. And for now, while the future likely holds maybe a 48-volt broader adoption, the transition is going to be measured in decades rather than years, reflecting a profound challenge as we go to EV. And that's your podcast for today. Check if you haven't heard the first part. I'm sure that's going to make sense if you listen to that first in your feed compared to what I've just talked about. But either way around, I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.